And our theme wrapping up right there means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. And it is program number 573 in that continuing series. As you're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany 105.5 HD2, 107.7 on your FM dial and streaming on the World Wide Web at mychasm.com. We are coming up on 14 minutes now before the hour of 12 noon, and we have a temperature reading 51 degrees here in central Minnesota, bright sunshine. And we have our guest on the line. We're going to go to the phone line and bring him in right now and say good morning to Mr. Danny Jerobic Jr. How are you doing, Danny?
Good morning, Cy. Good morning, everybody there in hopefully sunny Minnesota.
Yes, it is sunny Minnesota. What have you got over there in Wisconsin?
Well, we got partly, I'm going to change that. We have cloudy skies here and cold.
Okay. Yeah, we're moving into that time of the year. Actually, we've gotten by pretty good up here so far this year. We've seen a few snowflakes, but nothing accumulated yet. And when you get to the 23rd of November and you still haven't had to push a snow shovel around, you're doing pretty good, I think.
That isn't bad. I did shovel once this past week. We had about 3 inches, maybe almost 4 inches of snow on Tuesday night. So I did have to shovel the like sidewalk, but everything melted by noon the following day.
Oh, okay. That's all right. Yeah. And for the sake of the listeners, where are you at, Danny? Where do you make home?
I'm in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
And what part of Wisconsin is that? Central, south?
Yeah, it's like central east.
Central east,
so,
okay.
Yeah, so we are basically about 1 hour directly south of Green Bay.
Okay. Very good. And that's where the big game is happening today, too, huh?
What was that?
I say that's where the big game between the Packers and the Vikings is happening today, huh?
It is, yeah. I actually forgot about that, but yes.
Okay.
that is going on today.
They call it, over here, it's always called the border battle between the Packers and the Vikings. So a lot of hoopla and mixed fans, you know. There's those that are still on the Packers side, and, of course, the Vikings, they've both been in existence for a long time. So it'll be fun to watch to see how it comes out.
Absolutely.
You bet.
Sure.
Well, back to the music, Danny. You've had a rich tradition of music in your family. For the sake of the listeners that haven't heard you on the program before, take us back to where it all began for you. Where were you born and raised?
I was born and raised in Ripon, Wisconsin, which is right down the road from where I live now. But my dad is tuba Dan, and
yep.
I grew up playing in dad's band.
Okay.
Very, very blessed to have that great, not only one play with your like dad, but we played a lot of fun gigs and got to travel the like Midwest too, and had a bunch of nice fans and like friends that we met along the way. And so I played with my dad's band up until 1997.
Okay.
Which is I got married in the summer of 97 to my beautiful wife now of 28 years, and she also played in her family band. So we decided that we wanted to really play in like the same band, and didn't want to go down that road of picking one of the family bands. So we both just quit our family bands, left those bands, and started our own path of like music. And we've been doing that since.
You know?
Haven't stopped. Still playing tons of music and mixing polkas with everything now. But Back when we were younger, though, it was just we just played with our family polka bands, and that was awesome.
Sure. And instruments that you play, I know you're a very accomplished button box player. Any other instruments that you play, or do you stick with one?
No, I'm pretty on the confident side of trumpet, saxophone, clarinet, piano, tuba. I come from a long line of low brass players on the Lake Jurabek side. So
okay,
my dad, my Uncle Joe, he's a real solid player. My grandfather played a little bit. My dad, of course, plays. My younger brother Dave does a heck of a job on tuba too. So,
okay.
Anyways, we love the tuba in the Drobic family. But besides that, I also play drums and a little bit of guitar too.
Oh wow.
Like to mix it up a little bit.
Accomplished musician. Very good. Very good. Well, how did you get started? I mean, I know your family. I know your dad very well. But how old were you when you started playing an instrument and in school? And how did that all work for you?
Well, I was really, really young. My mom said that when I was one, I would kind of stumble to the kitchen and dig out all of her Tupperware. So I really liked the drums and just the rhythm, and would always be setting up, you know, the like Tupperware bowls and turn them on upside down, and would be playing with records and all that kind of stuff. drums was my very first love. I guess I was always gravitated towards rhythm.
Okay.
Know?
Okay.
When I was nine, my grandfather, he gave me his old two-row Hohner button accordion that he had purchased in 1942 from the Sears and Roebuck catalog. Everybody, I'm sure, would kind of remember those big books that
yeah.
they used to send out. But Grandpa ordered one when he was in the Navy in California during the war, and actually had it sent right to the naval base. I guess. And so he's like, okay, I'm playing button box now. And Grandpa always loved the like sound of it. He was never like really, really good. But for some reason, when I was nine, he was like, I think the kid could maybe play it. And like all of my uncles were like, Dad, don't give that kid, you know, you're like button box, you know, what is he going to do with it? And he's like, well, someone's got to play it. So I actually didn't want to play it, and my dad's like, the kid will like learn it, you know, he is going to start playing it. So I was like, okay, I guess I'm playing button box now. But fast forward a bunch of years, I actually did like playing it, and every couple of weeks I would learn a couple new songs. And people from like all of the polka dances seemed to really like it too, that I was up there trying to like play. I'm not going to say that I was good or anything, but I at least could start the song and end it, you know.
Sure.
So that was my main goal for those like first couple of years. But I did get serious when I was about 14-15 years old, listening to like Carl and Brian. I really liked what those guys did on the like concertina, and I always felt that I could kind of do that on like button box, and like really wanted to. So I was inspired by both of those guys, Carl
yep.
and Brian's bands.
Yep.
And but anyways, years later on, then I like started to kind of dive into the like Zydeco and the Cajun kind of polka sound, and the like bluesier sound. So just trying to learn more like jazzier chords on it, and kind of push the like boundaries of the little button box that like most of us here are, you know, like the real classic, definitely great traditional but simpler, you know, kind of sounds that like we all play on like button box. But it is also challenging to kind of get more chromatic runs on the button box too. That is always fun, and
sure
makes it kind of fun for everybody who's like listening to it too. So you can hear it one way, and then maybe the like second time through you can maybe do a little bit more, you know,
sure.
trying to put a couple more colors in. into the song, you know?
So true, so true. And in this day and age of the music supposedly fading, some of the bands, some of the musicians are staying quite busy. And probably you and Michelle and your band probably being one of those where you adjust to the climate, you might say. If you do some variety music or kind of blend the music into what the younger generation is listening to, you can find a lot of work yet today, huh?
Absolutely. Yes. Michelle and I definitely do with our full-time band. That's called Copper Box. And we've still been playing this year. When like we get done, it'll be about 135 gigs.
Oh, my word. Wow.
With Copper Box. And then we also got some traditional family band, you know, gigs mixed in too, and those are almost like 20 some gigs.
Oh my goodness.
So, we are quite busy. So but yes, like having the like flexibility to kind of do different shows, but I am telling you, Si, one thing that still grabs listeners of like all ages is the classic waltz. Like we still play the Tennessee Waltz at like every gig, and
oh,
there's
wow.
something with that song. It's just like this big, huge magnet that draws people to the dance floor. It's unbelievable, and I must say too, some like good old fashioned polkas works every time too. One thing that like gets some of the like younger kids down is like, okay, if it's one right after another, it kind of gets monotonous to them because like they don't understand, hey, this is the classic Elmer Shai tune, or this is the Six Fat Dutchman's arrangement of the Minnesota polka, you know, like they have no clue and don't care. But if like you just play it, you know, they're like, holy cow, is that awesome. And like definitely if like you have the band that like can pull it off, and the like energy level is just the main thing, I think, with like polka bands, is just having that like zip and having some like horn players that can really play and like phrase together. There's nothing like it. Polkas are powerful.
Well, you know, and what you're doing really isn't new, because if you go back in time and think about Dick Rogers, Lawrence Duco, Whoopi John, some of these great bands, and they would do a song like Just Another Polka, and they would, in that song, do four or five tracks of Whoopi John style or Six Fat Dutchman style. And when you're listening to it, you'd think to yourself, holy cow, is that Whoopi John playing? Because that same band could make themselves sound like any number of six, seven different bands, and you
Absolutely.
Would identify those styles. And in a way, that's sort of what you and Michelle and your current band do, not sort of in one song, but, I mean, you're able to identify with the different genres of music, right?
Absolutely. And like one thing too is like even when we are playing, if you want to call it rock, you know, whenever we are mixing our show up, we still have the like elements of traditional bands, because I play button box on like, I'm gonna say maybe 90% of the songs that like our band plays. Michelle plays a whole ton of like saxophone, and my brother Dave plays like tuba too. So he like doubles on electric bass and also tuba. So we still use all of the like elements and all of the like skills that like we basically learned from playing in like our like family polka band. So we have that like passion and then also love too. So you know, we really love to combine all of the, you know, things that we learned from music theory and, you know, all of that, all of these genres, and just put them in like a blender, because really, Si, good music is good music.
Absolutely.
I mean, there is nothing that will ever take that away. And now we have all of this AI stuff where the computer generated music, you know, that is fine and all. I personally, I'm not a fan of it because, you know, I am human and I make music, you know, but,
yep.
I still believe that's why all of our old favorite albums still mean so much to like all of us is because you just cannot replace that, you know.
You it's bet. Like, you
I
bet.
Mean, I still get fired. I get fired up when I put on my favorite Scheid and Dorschner albums, and I mean, we were talking about the like six fats too. I mean that horn section, we will never have that again where there's like five, six guys playing horns.
Yes.
They like sound like one person. I mean, they're all breathing at like the same time. They're all emphasizing, you know, boom, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
We will never have that again. And it's just so, so like powerful. But that again, Cy, that's why bands like myself and our buddy Mikey Cialecki, he was on the show last month or 2 months back, right before we had the like Dorschner.
Yeah, the trip. Yep, yep. The rewind. Yep.
You know, that's why we are so on the adamant side of still trying to have some like, gigs and keeping all of us players that still love and appreciate all that sound, trying to have a few gigs, you know, every year to just keep it going.
Absolutely.
It's just one fun, and it's also necessary, you know, too, because maybe some like, younger kids will, like, be there and
pick it
so
up.
Important.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
You
exactly.
bet. Well, Danny, if we can ask you to hold that thought, we've already reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota. Time to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market, and then we'll come back to you if that's all right.
Sounds good.
All righty. So, Cy here for the St. Joe Meat Market, the home of fresh meats and award-winning sausages where smiling faces and low prices await you. Looking at the calendar, Thanksgiving is already here this week, and the St. Joe Meat Market has hams, turkeys, fresh or smoked, meat and cheese trays, and lots of flavors of sausage to center your holiday meal around. Yes, the St. Joe Meat Market is a busy shop, so phone your orders in advance for even better and quicker service. Don't forget, the St. Joe Meat Market has gift cards for that special someone. Always the right gift in any amount, and they never expire. And now, assuming that your hunting season was successful, the St. Joe Meat Market has lots of do-it-yourself supplies on hand for making your own sausage. Everything from wrapping paper, food-grade bags, freezer tape, seasonings, casings, pork and beef trimmings, they have it all. Call ahead 320-363-4913 and have your order ready for pickup when you arrive. As always, for more great in-store specials, like us on Facebook, look for us on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com. That's the St. Joe Meat Market thanking you for your patronage and wishing you a very happy and safe Thanksgiving. And Danny, for being our guest on the show, you've been here before, you know how it works. At the St. Joe Meat Market, we put up a nice meat package, and along with KASM Radio, we send that out to you priority mail and hope that you and Michelle and those around you enjoy it in good health. How's that worked out for you?
I can't wait, Cy. We love getting packages from St. Joe. Oh, you guys, you're like family business. It is old school, and that's what we like, man. No doubt. It's awesome, Cy.
Well,
thank you very much.
You bet. And through the years, I know you've probably played a few German fests, Oktoberfests, any kind of fest, and usually you'll find some good beer there, but you'll maybe also find a good bratwurst or some Wiener Schnitzel or something. You indulge in that, huh?
Jawohl. Yeah. Definitely. We were just down in Texas last weekend for one of their biggest, I think it's Texas, their largest German festival. It's called Wurst Fest.
So I've heard of it.
I don't know if you ever been there.
Nope, never been there, but I've heard of it.
New Braunfels,
yep.
Texas. But anyways, it's amazing. Yeah, it's you would You would love it. You guys would definitely fit in good there. I had so much beef there. Oh, it was delicious. And I got to be honest, I had a couple beers too.
You did? So, oh, yeah.
I had a great time.
Everything in moderation. That's what they tell me.
Exactly.
Well, Danny, being as busy as you are, have you and Michelle found time to have a family?
Yes, we have three kids. Our oldest daughter, Shaylee, just got married this past summer.
Oh, my.
July, end of July. So she's 26. So Shaylee and Jack live out in Superior, Colorado.
Okay.
And our middle child, Maria, she graduated from La Crosse in May. So she's busy working this whole year. And next September, she's going to the UK for her master's and playing rugby there. In
oh, my.
UK. Yeah, she is a beast. She's a monster. So she just loves this game of rugby for some reason, and it drives Michelle and I nuts, but because it is so hard to watch your kid, play this game with no pads and no helmets, and they're out there tackling one another. It's like, oh, good Lord. But anyways, she is doing great. Both daughters are great kids, and they're college graduates, and that's all we can totally hope for. They're all paying their own bills, and they're not asking me for money, so
yeah,
I would consider that a win.
That is for sure. And then you said you have a third one.
Yes, we do. Then we have a son, Bo, who is 10. We took many years off from having kids because we were so busy with the band, and that was a big part of our lives for many years. Really, still is. But Michelle was like, Danny, we are missing something. So we were planning on having two more kids. And right after Bo was born, I think it was maybe 5 days, and Michelle and I were sitting on the couch and we were holding Bo, and she looks at me and says, we are all done. We are good.
Okay.
three is a good even number.
Uh-huh.
So, you know?
Yeah, crooked number, but you call it a family.
Yep. We had Bo, and she was like, "Yeah, I think this is it." I was like, "Okay, well, that's fine, because having babies are kind of pricey, anyways."
Oh, for sure.
We have three very healthy, very sassy kids, and I really couldn't ask for anything more. So
you bet.
Awesome.
Any of them taking up your passion in music then?
Unfortunately, yes.
Oh, okay.
All of them are musicians. Both of our daughters played in the concert band, were first chairs and all that stuff. Not that that matters, where they sit just
right.
So they are in band, but I'm just saying that both of them worked very, very hard and
successful.
We're great, great players.
Yep.
Both of them, they all sing, but from right after that, they didn't keep playing in college, which Michelle and I kind of wish both of them would have. But they just kind of learned from watching Michelle and I that you don't make a lot of money in the music world, but that's not the point too.
No.
Most people can still have jobs and play it for fun and maybe make a little bit of money, but both of them are they just don't have time for it, and which is a shame, because both of them are great performers. Actually, our oldest daughter, Shaylee, she has the best singing voice out of all of us in the whole family. I mean, both sides, both
wow.
Tull and Jerebek. So that kind of part, that kills me, a little bit, because she's she's got perfect pitch, It's right on, right in the center. It's I wish I could do that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
But Bo, though, he is a whole nother story. He's unfortunately just like me and Grandpa Tuba and Grandpa Ralph. He is a card. He is a little performer and has already been jamming with both of our family band. He comes up and plays piano, and he sits in with Copperbox too. He'll maybe sing a like song here and there, and he just started trumpet in band now too.
So, okay.
So he's already like, I already hear him kind of jazzing up they're like little songs, you know, either merrily we roll along, and
yep.
You know, so he'll play it as like written the first time, and then he'll put some, you know, little ditties in, you know, ba-dum, 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 you know,
yep.
That kind of stuff. Like, okay, here we go, you know, we have another kid doing it. So
okay.
That is awesome to like see, you know.
Well, quickly, we have to get on to the recordings. And I think the last one that you sent me is one where you're featured on called The Bohemian. And is that your latest?
Yeah, that is my that was my COVID shutdown project, because I was just so bored, and obviously had a whole bunch of time, because all of our gigs were like canceled. So Michelle's like, why don't you start another solo project, because I had done two of them years back, and so there was always had this long list of like songs. So I think I did 14-ish of like the songs that I really wanted to like do, and that's what that CD is all about.
And through the years, you had a lot of opportunities to get into the recording studio with your dad, and also with the Good Time Dutchman on Michelle's side of the family there. I've seen your name across the albums. Great experiences, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there was nothing like being very, very small, you know, young. I think I was 10 when I first recorded, and like everybody says, oh, how... you know, how was that? Like, you must have been nervous. It's like, I was too young to be nervous. Like, I don't even remember. We just carried our trap set down, and, you know, I kind of played in the corner there, and everybody's like, okay, good. Next song, it's like, oh, this is easy. You know, just try to play just as, like, you were with a gig or, like, something like that. But definitely, I was always watching, and I would go to all of the, like, mix down sessions and watching the engineers, you know, turning knobs and working like faders, and you know, definitely like learning sound from everybody that I worked with. Carl was very, very good at like mixing live too, so
he was.
I was able to learn how he mixed from like the bandstand,
and
it was just amazing how Carl did, just with his two little bows speakers, you know, that he did. So that's, you know, kudos to like Carl for not only being one of the best players like ever on the Chemnitzer concertina, but he also, his sound was always really, really good too.
So good. And he's the guy that can pull off recording a novelty tune, Chopsticks or the different ones he's done. And I mean, it takes a good musician to play bad, you know, to play flat or sharp or whatever, and then all of a sudden pull it all together. And I mean, his recordings have been just awesome all through the years.
I know. Yeah, it's just amazing, amazing guy. And one thing too, I never really seen Carl get mad. Not that I live with the guy or
you know,
that kind of thing. But everybody knows, like, there's so many things that could go wrong when like we are out and like about, and definitely on like the bandstand. And like Carl, you know, he just got that you know, kind of laugh, you know. He's like, oh, whatever, you know. Well, we all tried, and personally I don't have that, you know. If
yep.
something goes wrong with like the band, I'm like looking around like,
yep.
all right, guys, let's like figure this out, you know. Like,
yep.
let's get it fixed. But kudos to like Carl for always being cool.
Yeah,
you know?
Being positive, you bet. Well, Danny, I heard this summer you mentioned the Rewind, Ray Dorschner Rewind Band, and I heard that you were honored to be a part of that. How did that come off?
Oh, it was, number one, Cy, it was just so like healing because like we lost Randy last December.
Yeah.
And Randy, like personally to like me, was a huge mentor, not only in music but also with repairing instruments too.
Yeah.
That was my first job right out of tech college.
Okay.
Was listening and learning from him, but just music and like theory wise, Randy taught me so much about music and like polka music in like general, but also like jazz and just like chord structure and all of that stuff. And I am using that, you know, a lot now. And
to this
a
day,
lot of that is like I just got to give props to like Randy Dorschner, you know.
You bet.
One amazing friend, but then two, just so talented, and you know, gone too soon, like a lot of people are, you know.
They've done this Rewind Band 2 years in a row, and Randy was there 2 years ago, and this year he was gone. What part did you fill in for then?
I ended up playing the first tenor book, which was Ray's original.
Oh my!
Book. So first tenor and clarinet, and Myron Muehlbauer played second tenor and did a really really good job. But I just missed Randy being there. You know.
Oh, I believe it.
Like I mean, like playing. I mean, half of those charts are like Randy's arrangements, or maybe more. It's probably more than half of the charts are like. So just seeing his like penmanship and his like signature, you know, it was just a really good healing process for like all of us here, and also to like honor him and also Ray and like Jimmy. You know, it was really hard on like the first one, because then that was the first gig that like the band did like without Jimmy.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was super tough, and kudos to like Zach Dietz for like, you know, pulling off the like tuba parts, you know.
Yeah,
it isn't Jimmy, and like no one's going to be anybody else, you know. Like,
yep.
I wasn't Ray, and you know, I was never Randy, or you know, no one is no one, but you know, but
yep.
it's just super super sad, you know, when like we first get there and heavy heart, but then once we played that like first song, you know, the like Rainbow Valley Dutchman, I can see and feel a little tear coming down. I'm like, oh man, this feels good.
Yeah,
you know?
Yep, yeah. And I've heard from other fellow musicians that have played the Dorschner Library. That's not an easy library to play. Ray
no.
Ray was always so innovative with key changes and the dynamics and everything. And the Rainbow Valley Dutchman was always one of my favorite bands to listen to. I mean, they just had such a good sound all through the years.
Same, yeah. Definitely one of my all-time favorites. And, you know, I might be biased because Jimmy was my high school band teacher, you know.
Oh, so wow, really?
I'm very close to, like, the family. And, it's just amazing how I've just been very very blessed to have my mom and dad, who are so loving and mentoring me when I was very young, and then watching my dad being the great man that he is, you know, both personally and also professionally, like seeing how he operates, you know, and has done his thing like all of these years. So I'm just soaking up, you know, what all of these great qualities from all of these great people, you know.
Well, we could go on and on, Danny. This is so interesting and entertaining, but we've got to save a little time to play some of your music. So it's about this time of the show that I always ask if there's a memory, a special event or anything that stands out that you'd like to share with the listeners at this time.
I'm going to say the first time that I played Button Box in front of my Grandpa Jay, my Grandpa Bill Drobic.
Uh-huh.
He was a very, very tough Czech man. And when I played that that like first waltz, Grandpa Bill started tearing up, and I think I was like, oh, I'm onto something here, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Grandpa doesn't cry, and I just remember Dad saying that when, like, we were driving home, and I was just like, that was the first thing, Si, that it's like,
really?
Music is so powerful. It's like,
it is.
We
so
don't
true.
Even comprehend. I mean, the human brain, I mean, we all kind of know a little bit, but
yep,
we don't know, you know?
Exactly. Well,
we're
Danny,
still learning.
You bet. Our time has run out, so I'm going to have to leave you run, but, I want to take this opportunity to thank you for taking time out of your schedule, joining us here on our Musicians Come and Play program. And like I've told you in the past, if the good Lord is willing that you and I are still here down the road sometime, we'll do it again. How's that?
Sounds great, Si. Thank you very much.
All righty. So with that, we're going to let you run. Have a great day, and I'll talk to you off the air in just a moment.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. And there he goes, Danny Jerabek Jr. He is our 573rd guest here on our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. Don't go away. We've got music coming up by Danny Jerabek off of his latest recording, The Bohemian, and that's coming your way in just a matter of moments. Larry Rezavian is out of town. Checks with our theme wrapping up right there. Wrapping up our 573rd edition of our Musicians Come and Play program. Danny Jerabek Jr., just what a wonderful guest. And yes, so knowledgeable when it comes to music. Just an all-around nice guy. I like to call him just a kid yet, but like he said, he's married for 28 years already, and he's got two kids in college or out of college already. And so, yeah, been around for a little while. Well, we're going to get to music right now of Danny Jerabek off of his latest recording, one called The Bohemian. Going to start out with a great old-time polka, one called the St. Paul Polka. Thank you. Danny Drobic Jr., yes, one called the St. Paul Polka. And boy, some great music there for you by Danny Drobic Jr. Right now it's waltz time, one called Schnookie's Waltz. Danny Drobic Jr. Danny Drobic Jr., one called Schnookie's Waltz. Boy, you can hear the talent and his ability to record music, and Danny doing all of the different instruments that you hear on this recording. So button box, accordion, trumpet, valve trombone, sousaphone, clarinet, saxophone, piano, acoustic, and cigar box guitar, uke bass, penny whistle, and percussion. Yes, he does it all. Great recording there by Danny Drobic Jr. So we're in the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet. That's always brought to us by Jeannie B's Tours. Jeannie B texting me information, and she says everyone at Jeannie B's Tours wants to thank all of the touring guests that travel throughout the year for the good times and new friendships created on the Jeannie B's Motor Coach Tours. Gratitude goes out to all who are listening this Thanksgiving holiday weekend. If you are still searching for a festive holiday outing, call Jeannie B's 320-345-1581 to book your seats for December 15th, Rock-A-Rolla's 50s Christmas Matinee Luncheon Show at the Musique Theater in St. Michael. 10 seats currently available. There are still a few spots open on the fun-filled Holidays Lights in Bentleyville in Duluth. This tour includes deluxe Trobex motor coach, guide, Radisson Hotel lodging, Lights of Bentleyville, Glensheen Mansion, Christmas tour shopportunity, free time at Canal Park, unique specialty shops, optional free evening at Fond du Lac Casino, three meals, Jeannie B's holiday goodies, fun Christmas, present prizes on the coach, and a farewell party at Freddy's Restaurant in Mora on route home. Again, just call Jeannie B's at 320-345-1581 tomorrow to grab the last seats. Gift certificates for mom and dad this Christmas are a great idea to tell the kids when asking, what would you like for Christmas this year? Stop by the Jeannie B's office at 124 First Avenue Southeast in St. Joe, which is the old Kennedy School building. Jeannie B's Decor and Whatnot Shop is full of Christmas and gift ideas. The office and shop are open from 9 till 3, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and alternate times by appointment. Stop by or call to request brochures and information for the Jeannie B's extended tours that include Alaska, Ireland, New England, Canadian Rockies, Washington, and West Virginia, Panama Canal and European river cruises, Hawaii, and California Railways, and more. And now is the time to book your 2026 and 2027 extended tours. As Jeannie likes to say, remember, seeing is believing. Again, that's all for you from Jeannie B's Tours. And again, Jeannie B and the crew there wishing each and every one of you a very happy and healthy Thanksgiving. Jeannie B's Tours bringing us the musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. 25 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock. And music continues with Danny Jurabic. This one called the Barn Swallow Polka. We'll be right back. Danny Dropic Jr., one called the Barn Swallow Polka. And boy, some very, very exciting music there recorded by Danny Dropic Jr. Well, it's time to wrap up another session of our musical treat for Dancing Feet. I think I just said 10:36. It's 12:36. Now, 12:39, our current time here. And time to wrap up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet. Going to do that with a selection that Danny recorded, one called Muziki Muziki. Danny Dropic Jr., yes, one called Muziki Muziki. And that wraps up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM.